If we were to quickly make up a list of Old Testament characters, our list would likely include Moses, Joshua, David, and Elijah. It might also include the likes of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca. With a bit of thought and a bit of time, we, I think, could create quite a lengthy list of Old Testament characters. Many of them, of course, we learned about in Sunday school. A name that probably wouldn't appear on our list is the double-barreled name of a man called Ebed-Melech. He pops up in the passage we read from Jeremiah chapter 38. While a newborn boy might get the name Samuel or David or James or John, he is not likely to be called Ebed-Melech, at least not in our part of the world. Ebed-Melech is a kind of low-key character and a man we haven't a lot of information on, certainly not in the way we know about Noah and Moses and David. But Ebed-Melech is someone we can take a lesson or two from, especially with regards to life and to service. Now, what's the situation we find Ebed-Melech in? Well, we find him in a situation connected with the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah had been telling God's people for some time that they were going to be carried off into a strange land, carried off into Babylon because of their disobedience to God, because of their unwillingness to be guided by God's word through people like Jeremiah, who God had sent to teach them and warn them. According to verse 1, some of King Zedekiah's officials had ganged up on Jeremiah. They just didn't want to hear anything that suggested God was going to punish his people, even though they had been neglecting him and engaging in false worship for so long. It was a case on the part of some officials around the king, it was a case of silence, Jeremiah, and everything will be okay. And so we read at verse 6 these words. So they, the officials, took Jeremiah and put him into the cistern of Malchijah, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guard. They lowered Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern or the well. It had no water in it, only mud. And Jeremiah sank down in the mud. Poor Jeremiah. Things just seemed to go from bad to worse for him. To begin with, he didn't feel up to being a spokesperson for God. Then he was more or less told by God that not many would listen to his preaching. And eventually he ended up in a well. And not one that was dry and just might be made habitable, but one that was dark and definitely muddy. Enter Ebed-Melech. We just don't know a lot about this Old Testament character, but we do know this, that he was a believer. For example, the next chapter on, chapter 39 at verse 15, we read these words. While Jeremiah had been confined to the courtyard of the guard, this is Jeremiah out of the pit after Ebed-Melech's rescue. While Jeremiah had been confined to the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him, go and tell Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, this is what the Lord, the Almighty, the God of Israel says. I am about to fulfill my words against this city, through disaster, not prosperity. At that time, they will be fulfilled before your eyes. But I will rescue you on that day, Ebed-Melech, declares the Lord. You will not be handed over to those you fear. I will save you, and you will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life because you trust in me, declares the Lord. If someone was to ask us about Ebed-Melech's motivation for life and living, well, it's obvious. There in chapter 39, God was real in his life, in his words, and in his actions. It's Ebed-Melech's attitude and approach to Jeremiah's situation that I think we can learn from as we think about living for God and serving him in some way. We note, first of all, Ebed-Melech's courage. When he got word about what had been done to Jeremiah, he went to the king. That would not have been an easy thing for him to do. There may not have been the same checks to pass through to get to the king in those days, but that, as there might be today, but there would have been checks. Even though we are told in verse 7 that Ebed-Melech was an official in the royal palace, Ebed-Melech decided that he wasn't going to sit back and watch Jeremiah's demise. Instead, he had the courage to do something about it. So he went to the king to plead for Jeremiah, a mission that could have put his life in danger, considering that there were some powerful officials scheming and plotting to get rid of Jeremiah. If they got wind that Ebed-Melech was caring about Jeremiah, looking out for Jeremiah, concerned about Jeremiah, they would have been after him to silence him as well. If we read the details of the story, we see that the king gave to Ebed-Melech 30 men, likely 30 soldiers, to protect him on his operation, verse 10. So this is a sign that Ebed-Melech's life was indeed in some danger. But service sometimes takes us into uncertain settings, into challenging situations. Service for God sometimes takes us out of our comfort zone. And so courage will sometimes be required of us. We have to note Ebed-Melech's courage in going to the king and then going on to rescue Jeremiah. Here is a fairly ordinary guy, someone who probably got on with his daily duties without drawing much attention to himself. But when presented with a challenge, he was up for it and gave himself to it. God's work today. Witness and service for Jesus today needs folk with courage, with the courage of Ebed-Melech, who will stand up for the cause of Christ, who will give themselves to kingdom activity, who will not wilt under the pressure to conform to worldly ways, who believe that with God's help and the support of each other, we can do something for God and for good. God's work today needs folk who will not make excuses, but who will see the need and do what they can to help meet it. Most times, we will not need a lot of courage, but sometimes we will. Courage to step up, courage to keep going, courage sometimes in the face of danger or disappointment. I've been taking some services recently in Waterside Presbyterian Church in Londonderry, and there are a group of Ukrainian families who meet there with the regular folk for worship. Some of the long-time waterside folk have shown real initiative and courage to welcome and help those families in their time of need. We note Abed-Melech's courage. We mustn't entertain thoughts of retreating. We advance with Jesus and for Jesus, aware that opposition may raise its head somewhere along the way. We mustn't allow our enemy, the devil, to make our witness and service for God look like not doable, look like it's too much for us. We mustn't allow the evil one to distract us from being bold and courageous these days. The Lord is the strength of his people. With him we can be confident and we can be bold. Let's not be shy about asking God for the kind of courage we need to overcome the schemes of the evil one. God's help will always be more than we need for the challenges ahead. We note Abed-Melech's courage. Second, we note his servant heart. At verse 7, "But Abed-Melech, a Cushite, an official in the royal palace, heard that they had put Jeremiah into the cistern. While the king was sitting in the Benjamin gate, Abed-Melech went out of the palace and said to him, 'My lord, the king, these men have acted wickedly in all they have done to Jeremiah the prophet.'" The name Abed-Melech actually means the king's servant. It seems to me that this man had served the king with a servant heart, because the king considered his plea for Jeremiah favorably. Verse 10, "Then the king commanded Abed-Melech the Cushite, 'Take 30 men from here with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies.'" King Zedekiah clearly respected Abed-Melech's judgment on the situation. And the action Abed-Melech took to rescue Jeremiah at great danger to himself reveals the servant nature of his heart. He cared about the man in the pit. Friends, if we are to be useful to God, we need to ask him to give us servant hearts. Let's not forget that Jesus set the perfect Let's not forget that Jesus set the perfect example as he washed the disciples' feet. Imagine that. The Son of God washing the feet of Peter and James and John and Judas. Jesus also told the disciples one day, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, but you are not to be like that." We note Abed-Melech's courage and we note his servant heart. Think of it this way. Long before Jesus set the example of Christian service, coming into the world not to be served but to serve, long before Jesus washed the disciples' feet as a sign of service, long before Peter and Paul learned to serve others for God and for the glory of God, long before the servant tone of the Good Samaritan story, and long before so many others, Abed-Melech was serving with a servant heart. He looked beyond himself to others. And in that, he was reflecting the heart of God. Concerned he was for others. Concerned enough to take risks for the good of others. Folks, especially in leadership, we will struggle if we view service from the perspective that it's all about us. That it's all about who we are and the skills we have. We will struggle in service if we don't approach it in the attitude of Jesus. And we know well how Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. If Jesus Christ could step down from his high position to serve others, if Christ could leave the wonder and loveliness of heaven and come into the midst of our mess and sin and serve the needs of a wide range of people, then that's who we take our lead from, and that's who we seek to imitate. We note Ebed-Melech's courage, and we note his servant heart. Third, we note Ebed-Melech's thoughtfulness. Where do we see this? Around about verse 11. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to a room under the treasury in the palace. He took some old rags and worn out clothes from there and let them down with ropes to Jeremiah in the cistern. When Ebed-Melech got the go-ahead to rescue Jeremiah, he didn't just run for a rope to help the prophet out of the well. That would have been rough on Jeremiah. I used to visit Kilkeel Harbor as a teenager on a Saturday morning, and there would have been fishermen there tidying things up after their week's fishing. And one of the things they did was this: they repaired and re-rolled ropes. Some of those ropes were thick and rough and not that flexible. I don't know what rope was like in Ebed-Melech's day, but it was hardly all that refined. And so Ebed-Melech wasn't just going to use raw rope. He was much more thoughtful and much more caring than that. We're told that he sought out some old rags, perhaps bits of clothing or bits of blankets, so as Jeremiah could put them under his arms to keep the ropes from cutting into him. Folks, here's a man with a heart. Here's a man with a caring heart. Ebed-Melech knew that under Jeremiah's arms might still be chafing and sore from being let down, if not dropped down, by ropes into the well. Ebed-Melech was thoughtful. A quote I came across says this: duty makes us do things well, but love makes us do them beautifully. Duty makes us do things well, but love makes us do them beautifully. And so Jeremiah was thoughtfully lifted from the well to engage in more service for God. Not only are we called to serve with focus and commitment, not only are we to serve relying on God to help us, we're to serve with thoughtfulness. In 1 Thessalonians 2, we have Paul addressing Christians in a place called Thessalonica. At one point, he seems to suggest that he could rightly have come in there very strong by way of preaching and teaching, but he chose not to. Here's what Paul says halfway through verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. And a bit further on in the same chapter, Paul says this at verse 11. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who called you into his kingdom and glory. Surely the impression we're to get is that of Paul and Timothy ministering in a thoughtful and caring way, wanting to impart truth, yes, wanting the folk in Thessalonica to understand what it means to belong to Jesus, but doing that with heart, doing that in a thoughtful and caring way. Friends, there will be distractions and frustrations as we seek to witness and work for Jesus. There will be moments when we might wonder why we bother, times when we might want to be blunt in some of our responses. Please, let's pause in those times. Think of Jesus and how thoughtful and caring he was. Think of Paul and Timothy and how thoughtful they were. Not at any time compromising on truth, but encouraging, comforting, and urging folk to live lives worthy of God. Think of Abed-Melech, who didn't really need to bother with Jeremiah, but did, and did so in such a thoughtful way. We note Abed-Melech's courage. We note his servant heart, and we note his thoughtfulness. I want to comment just briefly on how God viewed this man, what God's response was with regards to Abed-Melech. We sometimes say that God is no man's or woman's debtor. In other words, God never owes anyone anything. Quite the opposite. God compensates, more than compensates. He gives back more, far more, than we can ever give to him by way of witness and service. Towards the end of chapter 39, God promised Abed-Melech that he would be kept safe when the Babylonian army came to carry the nation of Judah into exile for the next 70 or so years, that he would know God's care and blessing, because all the while, he was trusting in the Lord. Chapter 39 and verse 18. So let's approach this new week with an eye to this not so well-known Old Testament character. Let's approach the days ahead with renewed courage, with servant hearts, and with thoughtfulness. And all of this for the glory of God, and for the good of others, and for the blessing of each other. Let us pray.